Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Okay, today we have Walt Richer, Silverlight, Microsoft, MVP, interested in WP7, author of the Shazam Shader Editor, and one of the nicer and gentler and kinder people I have had the privilege to meet. Walt?
Jesse, that was an awesome introduction. I feel humbled.
Well, it's just the reality, man. I keep running into you at shows, and it's always, always a good thing.
Yes, I agree. We always have some great conversations. Of course, I can't always remember everything when I get back home.
That's why we're recording this one. Unfortunately, this one doesn't come with a beer. Next one.
All right. Well, I think the next beer will be at the MVP Summit in a couple weeks.
Yes, looking forward to that for many reasons, including the fact that at the moment I can no longer see above my eyeballs because of the snow here in the Boston area.
Well, that's too bad. I'm in Seattle area, and we have a sunny 40-degree day.
And my response to that is not something that I can record.
Okay.
So tell me about what you've been working on most recently.
Well, mostly in the last couple of months, I've been doing a lot of Windows Phone development. Like a lot of Silverlight developers, I was impressed with the phone and the Silverlight implementation on the phone. And like most developers, I think I thought, well, I can write some apps for the marketplace and, you know, see if I can make some money and see how that goes. And so I've got one app in the store, and I've got two other apps in development right now. And we've got some storyboarded out some ideas for another, I don't know, five or six apps we've brainstormed. And so it has been keeping me plenty busy. And, you know, it's really rewarding when you work on a UX tool that fits in with what you already know. And, you know, you can use the same tools like the model view model pattern, or, you know, your animation or expression blend, all of that stuff. Now, I know you've done some Windows Phone development too. Have you actually put an application on the store?
I have not put an application on the store, and I was going to ask you what your experience was like doing so.
Yes, that's, you know, there's two parts to, or probably three parts to getting an app in the marketplace. One is, of course, you have to register for a developer account and spend your money with Microsoft. And then, you know, that's $99. For that, you get the privilege of publishing a number of apps to the site. Their rules are, as long as Microsoft makes a cut on the paid application, you can have unlimited applications. And if you want to do free applications, then you're allowed to publish up to five of those. Then they charge you $20 more, which is a little bit surprising because the early days they said you could, it was five publications. It's actually five submissions. So if you submit an app to the store, it's free. That takes $20 off your account. And if it fails, this is the part that's catching a lot of people by surprise. If it fails the initial submission, let's say you there's a bug in it and it crashes on the tester's machine and they fail your application, then the next time you submit the same application, it's going to cost you another $20.
That's if it's a free application.
That's if it's a free. And my understanding is that once the application is published, like I have a one called Coin Flipper that's in the marketplace. It was published successfully back in October, I believe. And now I can go and do an update. I'm going to do an update next week with the new ad control that just came out.
Yes.
And so now that means I don't have to pay the $20 submission fee because it's already been approved. I'm assuming Microsoft's doing that because they want people to make bug fixes. You know, if they have this $20 price tag every time you do a submission and you spend $200 or $300 fixing your bugs and it's finally saying it's not worth it, then they'd have a buggy app in the store.
Okay, but we managed to get ourselves caught up in the costs of getting into the marketplace, which I recognize that that's a real issue for some folks. But how has the experience been in terms of getting your application approved and getting it listed and generally interacting with the marketplace?
Well, so for me, publishing my app was trivial. It's a pretty simple application. I wrote it as I did a number of talks this summer and this fall at conferences about the phone. So I wanted to have an app that I could show that I actually had published. And so I did a simple Coin Flipper app. And for publishing, it was pretty easy. I put it up, I submitted it, and it was available in the marketplace within 24 hours.
Which is pretty good by your expectations?
Yes, it was. I got a notice that it was approved within 12 hours, and then about 12 hours after that, I saw it pop up on the marketplace. So I think that's great. You know, I've had friends that have had much longer gestation periods. Even successful passing maybe take 4 or 5 days. And then some have been caught up in this endless cycle of submit, disapproved, submit, disapproved. So there's some angst in the community about that. And I know it's a V1 of the marketplace, and I expect some major changes from Microsoft over the next year. You know, with the 85, how many employees work at Microsoft now?
I think it's about 85 employees. Yeah, that's about right.
85
employees. The last I heard it was somewhere in the vicinity of 90,000.
Yes. So if a good percentage of those have phones and a good percentage of those are vice presidents at the company, and they're using the app just like we are. If they're not satisfied with it, I'm sure they're going to be making some phone calls to some PMs saying this has got to be fixed.
So what's your feeling about the phone overall? Are you still psyched about the phone and developing for the phone?
I am. I like, for me, what I really like about the phone is I like the hardware. I think it's awesome hardware. I think I like the two programming environments, XNA and Silverlight. I think the disappointing things have been the marketplace. There's a number of flaws. I mean, I can go into the ones that I see, and if you want to go down that road.
Sure. I mean, this is not a Microsoft puff piece. If there are pieces that you see as areas of concerns, we should definitely talk about that.
Right. So there's a lot of things on the marketplace. There's a marketplace on the phone itself, and there's a marketplace on your PC, the Zune desktop version. Yes. Of the marketplace. And both of those have issues. Like, it's really hard to find apps on the phone. Oftentimes, the marketplace software will freeze up and lock up, and then you have to I've heard people having to restart their phone to get it to unlock. There's issues with updating a free application. So there's a number of things, So to me, what I get back to what I said earlier is I like the hardware. I think that's awesome. I think the OS itself, the version of the OS they put on the phone is great. The UI for the phone, the ability for me to write these apps the way I want to. If we can just get two things in place, the marketing of the apps to the general public. And I went to Best Buy here in my local Best Buy, and there was no Windows phones at all in the store. And not because they were out of stock, because they weren't carrying them.
Right.
And they're an AT&T provider, so there should have been some there.
Yes.
And there weren't. And so it's like, well, if you can't even buy the phone in the local store, that's a bad story. And then, so marketing is one. And then the marketplace, it's frustrating for users, I think, and for developers. So if we can get those two pieces fixed, I think, it's a definite contender. Of course, people would call me a fanboy, but.
So at the risk of being even worse of a fanboy, just thinking, trying not to be a Microsoft employee and not be defensive at all, I'm just thinking about, what's going to succeed, what's going to fail. If your point of failure is that the hardware is inadequate or the operating system is miserable or the development environment is crippling, then that's really hard to fix. If the problem is marketing and the marketplace, I mean, I don't want to underestimate what it's going to take to fix that, but it seems to me that's pretty good news, because those strike me as less fundamental and less rigid places where fixes would be a little bit easier to put.
Sure. I think I see what you're saying, is that
I'm saying of the things that could suck, at least it's things we can fix. That's what I'm saying.
Right. And then, like, there's going to be a new, like, there is some issues with the OS. Like, everybody brings up cut and place paste. So far, I haven't really missed that in my use of the phone. Some of the APIs need to be more open. It's hard to work with some of the sensors. They don't give you enough access points on the API to do some of the things that I think programmers want to do. But I think that's, my experience with Microsoft over the last number of years is that if something is successful and there's some drive in the groups inside Microsoft, they're willing to fix a lot of these things.
If the commitment is there, and I think that it's hard to miss that the commitment to Windows Phone is pretty strong. And so I would expect that the things that you're enumerating are going to be fixed fairly quickly. Let me ask you about, you were talking about making money with this in the marketplace, but you mentioned in passing the advertising control. Could you talk a little bit about your experience with that and what that's about, what that's for, and what it's like to work with that?
Sure. So for me, I was looking at how I was going to put this coin flipper app in the marketplace. I was thinking, myself, I wouldn't pay 99 cents to buy a coin flipper app when you can carry around a coin. You know, it's kind of a novelty thing. And, you know, until you open this app and you flick the phone and it does heads or tails for the coin. And you can pick different coin faces. You can use Euro coins and different U.S. coins. So I was thinking, I don't really want to sell this. I want to make this free because people aren't going to buy it. You know, I'm going to sell 12 copies of it. That'll be it. So maybe I could monetize it another way. And so I heard that there was an advertising control and I downloaded the SDK. It was really super easy to use. There's a ad control and you just drop the element, place your element in your Silverlight XAML somewhere. And you have to set up a publisher's account. So you go to the Pub Center site, you set up an account, and then you go in and you create what's called a campaign. And you basically say, you give it a name, and they generate a unique ID. So you'll get a GUID and another number, and you add those as properties to your ad control. So probably 20 minutes of my time setting up a publisher's account and getting the first campaign set up, another 5-10 minutes putting the ad control in my app, figuring out where I wanted to position it and setting the properties. And then there's a test switch you set. So you can say, show me what the ads will look like without actually sending any real ads to the phone. I tested it out. It worked okay. And then you go in and you set that test switch to saying I'm live now. And then at that point, it starts servicing ads. Of course, back when I was doing this, Jesse, they weren't actually serving real ads. They were still writing the API for the phone. And so I was getting these dummy ads. And it wasn't until a week or so after I actually put my phone on the marketplace that it started servicing real ads.
When you say placing the ad, how much control do you have over the size of the ad and where it is in your application?
Well, you don't have a lot of size. I think that if I remember, there's only two sizes of the ad. Like the standard one I'm using is 480 pixels, which is the general width of the phone, by I think it's 80 pixels. And I don't know what would happen if you tried to make it smaller than that, if it wouldn't serve the ad at all. And then I think there's a slightly smaller size than that, maybe 2/3 of that size. I don't remember the exact dimensions. So I know I was talking to Bill Reese a couple of days ago when I was in Florida, and he's thinking about adding an ad control to his Popper 2 application. And he was saying it's that same thing. So where do I put this? I've already got my UI developed, and I'm thinking about adding an ad, but I'd have to cut part of my game UI in order to do this.
So what did he have a solution to that, or how's he managing that?
He hasn't actually put it in yet, to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. We were just brainstorming because he was asking me how it was doing for me. You know, and I'm not making enough money to quit my job on the advertisements.
But the ad doesn't actually have to be in the middle of the game, right? I mean, it could be on a splash screen, an intro screen. It doesn't have to be on every page of your application.
That's true. Another thing you could do is only show it like when you have a break screen. So when you go from, you know, level one to level two, you could show it on the final score for the level one page.
Right. So there's some flexibility about when it shows up, and you control that when it shows up and on which pages it shows up.
Sure. And then you could also say, well, let's have it on a timer and only show it once every 5 minutes. You're going to have to tread a fine line. Do you want to piss off your customers because you're showing an ad all the time? You know, of course, it is a free app. That's what the counter most of us make. Well, it's a free app, so they can turn off the advertisements by buying a licensed copy of the software instead.
Now, is that right? Is there an option to do that where they can upgrade to a non-ad version?
Sure. So what people typically do in the Windows Phone is there's a is trial switch that you can set in your code. Or actually, I shouldn't say you can set it. You can read it. So in your Silverlight app, and I believe there's a way to do this in XNA too, you can say is trial, and it'll return true or false of whether the person has downloaded trial version. So what some people are doing is they're creating a free version of a trial version of their app, right? They're putting the ads in that. And then when you upload your application to the marketplace for certification, there's a checkbox on the submission process that says, I'd like to make this a trial app. And then so then when the user looks at it in the Zune marketplace or on their phone, they'll see that there's a trial download. So they download the trial, and then your code just checks the Boolean switch. If is trial, then show ad. you say, you know, add control dot visible equal visibility dot visible.
Right. And then when they buy, you just don't show the ad. And so effectively, they've purchased their way out of an ad-driven app.
Right.
Which is a convention I think that a lot of folks have gotten used to, is that you can have ads and it's free, or you can pay a little bit and then not have to have the ads.
Sure. And Microsoft, the nice thing is the API makes it super simple to do this. Microsoft's already included that is trial Boolean value to look at. So it's like one line. You got to write an if statement. That's it.
All right, I'm going to shift gears on you so fast that it gives you whiplash. But tell me.
I've got my collar on.
Tell me about the Shazam Shader Editor.
Have you not heard of that tool?
I have definitely heard of it, but I confess to not having tried it.
Okay, so it's a tool that I wrote a couple of years ago to make it simpler to write pixel shaders.
Well, that's a good thing, because writing pixel shaders is non-trivial.
Right. So if you're going to write a pixel shader in Silverlight or WPF, you have to download the DirectX SDK, which is about a gig. And then you have to get a text editor out and write some C-like code, which is called HLS, high-level shader language. Right. So you write a bunch of this text, and then you run it through the DirectX compiler, which turns it into a binary. And of course, now you're able to inject that binary into the graphics processor. If it's WPF, it'll actually run on the graphics processor. If it's Silverlight, of course, it won't run on the GPU, but it does do multi-core. So it runs faster than, say, the equivalent writable bitmap. And then you have to write a C# or VB class that then loads the binary. And usually you expose a bunch of properties off that, dependency properties. And so it's kind of the real hard part is writing the HLSL. The rest of it's pretty easy. And so what I did is I wrote this editor tool a number of years ago that basically is an HLSL editor. And so you write your code in there, and then you press F5 just like you're inside Visual Studio, and it compiles the binary. And it also generates, using the code DOM, it generates the C# class or the VB class that you need to add to your project. And so that what you do is just copy the PS file, which is the binary, and your CS file to your Silverlight project, compile, mark your PS file as a resource, and it's ready to go.
That's very cool.
And then I had some help. Well, we created some XML comments you can put in the HLSL that the DirectX compiler doesn't use, but my tool does. And so you can put comments in there saying, like, I want to have these properties with these names, these are the dependency property names, and these are the default values, and here's the minimum and maximum ranges for these. And it also spits out the code for that. And then I also built a testing harness into it so that you can actually look at the shader while you're in Shazam and run it and see what it looks like. Now, back when I wrote this, it was kind of necessary to do that because Visual Studio and Expression Blend didn't let you see the shaders. And now, of course, in Blend 3 and Blend 4, you can add a shader and then exercise the property values in the designer surface. So it's less necessary. The funny thing for me is I wrote it as a WPF and Silverlight tool, but I would say most of my comments and requests for new features are coming from the game development world now. People that are using DirectX are actually using my tool to write their shaders.
Very cool. Well, I'm looking at shazam-tool.com, which is a very nice, beautiful site that gives you all the information you need on how to get this thing and how to install it. And I like the fact that when I go to a screenshot, I see a Mandelbrot, which is is very cool.
Let's generate some fractal shaders.
And what's the status? Is this commercial or is this?
It's Giltware.
Giltware. Okay. I know that you've been working around audio and issues with audio, and you started to mention some of that just before we got going, and I wonder if I could segue to that.
Sure.
Not a natural segue, but nonetheless.
Well, sometimes you just don't have the material. You just have to go with what you have.
Go with what you got.
Well, I wrote an article about this for Code Magazine, and I think it's coming out in the next issue. Here's what reason why I wrote the article is there's a certification guideline for Windows Phone. If you're going to submit your app to the marketplace, you have to follow the rules of the certification guideline. And I believe it's about almost a 30-page document that says what you can and can't do in a Windows Phone app. For instance, there's a rule that says if you have an unhandled exception in your application, then and the application shuts down, then your app, of course, is not eligible to be on the marketplace, which makes sense. So there's a number of rules around audio, and I ran into some of those when I was working on my first app, and on this other app I'm working on called Art Snack.
I'm sorry, give me that name again.
Art Snack.
Okay.
It's
sounds yummy.
It does. It's a combination of music, modern art, and animation. And the idea is, you know, when you need a break in the day, you can pull up this application and let the beauty wash over you for a few minutes, and then you'll be refreshed and ready to go back to work.
Okay, I want that.
Yes. And so I was trying to get some sounds to work in this application, and I ran into a number of issues. And so since I got frustrated, and it took me hours and hours and hours of research to figure out what I wanted to do, and I wrote a bunch of prototypes to try and figure out how to solve certain problems, I thought I'd write an article about it so that other people could benefit from my pain.
So where do we find that article?
It's not published yet. It's going to be in Code Magazine in their next issue, which I think will be out in about a month and a half.
Okay, and we're right now at the very beginning of February, so somewhere in mid-March is where we can look for that.
Yes, it's gone through the editing process already, so I would assume it's just ready to go in the next issue.
And what are some of the key issues that you ran into while you were exploring that?
So, Jesse, the thing is if your user is already playing music, the certification guidelines say that you can't interrupt their music without asking their permission. So if you want to play a sound for a game, for instance, you can either ask them and say, is it okay to stop your music and play mine? Or my approach is just to not play my own music. I think that's the best approach. Just assume that their music's more important to them. And it's pretty easy to do in your code. You just would check this switch called, forget the name of the actual function, is game in control? I think it's something like that. It's an XNA library that you can use in Silverlight. It just basically say, does the game have control? And if it does, then that means that nobody else is playing audio.
Okay, so just to get clear on that, because there is this requirement and because on some level it's the right thing to do, what you're doing is checking and saying, is the user, while they're playing my game, are they already listening to music? And if so, then you just don't play your music. If they're not already listening to music, then you go ahead and roll your music.
Yes. And so now you've done Silverlight development. What element would you use to play a like a MP3 file?
I'm being set up with a trick question. I know
you
this,
are.
But I'll go ahead and say the media player.
Sure, the media element or the media player, right? That's really good for playing audio. If you want to work with the songs that are part of the music hub, there's another type, media player. And then here's the thing about the certification. You may, what you might do in your application is put a media element inside your XAML, okay, and then point it to a source, right? But yet in your code, then you're thinking, well, I'm going to, in my code, I'm going to check to see if game has control, and if so, then I'll play the song. Well, the problem with that is if you set the source in your XAML, it automatically stops the user's song before you get a chance to ask the question.
Ooh, nasty.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a bug or not, but it's something you need to be aware of. So, of course, the answer is go ahead and put the media element in your XAML, but don't ever set the source there. Always set your source programmatically.
And that workaround solves the problem for you because then you can do your test and set the source inside the conditional.
Yes.
Is there an alternative to the media element?
There are several. For one, let's say, for instance, you don't play any music, but there's another thing that a lot of applications have, especially on these smaller footprint devices, like the phone, is some sort of audio feedback. Like you can touch a button, you have a little click sound. You can't. You're going to have the same issue with the media element if you try to play these click sounds with that, because it's going to stop their music. Even just to play that click sound. So you're allowed to play sound effects by using another class called the Sound Effect class, or there's another one called Sound Effect Instance. Two different classes. They're part of the XMA library. You add a reference to your Silverlight application to the XNA library, and then you say, I want to instantiate this sound effect class. And you're allowed to go ahead and play those without any penalty. Now, of course, I suppose if you started playing a 30-second song instead of a sound effect for 1 or 2 seconds, then you'd probably get flagged by the certification team.
As well, you should at that point. But right. What that says is that if you want, and I don't mean to keep repeating what you're saying, but I want to just make sure I have it clear in my head, is that if I want to play music, I'm going to be in the position of either needing permission or checking whether they're playing music. But if I want a pop or a click or whatever kind of sound effect I'm going to add, I can do that using this alternative XNA element without having to check, without having to see whether they're playing music, and play it unconditionally.
That's right. And then that's one of the interesting things about the sound effect class is that it allows you, especially if you use the sound effect instance, you can play up to 16 simultaneous sounds. So you can do little sequences of sounds. So I have a wind chime effect that's part of the ArtSnack application. So you're running, it's supposed to be soothing, right? So I got a music editing software. I created my own WAV files using this, and I think I have about 20 WAV files. They have to be WAV files if you're using the sound effect class. They can't be MP3s. And they also have to be embedded in your assembly. They have to be marked as resource, which is unfortunate because it bloats the size of your DLL, but there's no way around that. But then I create 16 sound effects instances, and then I can play them at random intervals for this wind chime effect.
I did not realize that you were that far on the artistic side of creativity. I always pictured you as a geek coder and less the designer type.
Well, would it help you if I told you that I was a professional musician for a number of years?
Yeah, it would help a lot. I feel a lot better now. Now my inadequacy is in a well-understood pigeonhole.
Okay.
I feel much better. What kind of professional music did you play?
Well, I've played everything from jazz to rock to top 40.
And what's your instrument?
I play piano and synthesizer. I also spent a number of years in school, and immediately after I got out of school playing trombone.
Who knew you were such a talented guy?
I did.
You did? There you go. Clearly I should have.
I don't talk about it a lot, as a programmer. I learned, one of the things I really learned about being a professional musician is that there's no money to be made in it. Art just does not pay. And I was doing music software on the side when I was doing that. And when you see the amount of money coming in for writing a silly database application compared with what you can make playing in bars for a month, it suddenly becomes a no-brainer.
Yes.
And so
at least that after a certain age, anyway, after you're
retirement's looming, and I got to retire, and at some point in my life, and I've got no social security because musicians don't pay much taxes,
and all those cats to support. Yes.
Yes.
Well, right. That's very cool. And it sounds like you're doing some really, really cool and interesting stuff with Windows Phone. So I'm looking forward to seeing that app and playing with that app, taking breaks with that app.
Okay.
Of course, you have to do some work in order to be entitled to a break. So we'll have
it's
to
true.
See how that goes.
And then once you get the phone out, it's easy to not do work on it. It's easy to do work, but it's also easy to get distracted with all the excellent games that are on it.
So before you go, tell me what your MVP is in. What specialty?
Client App Dev.
Excellent. And you're going to the MVP Summit?
I'm going to the MVP Summit, and I'm also going to be at Mix, and I think that's
April
this year.
Yeah. Yep. That's great. I'm glad that you're coming to Mix. That is, for me, always one of my favorite shows, one of my favorite conferences is Mix because of the mix of folks that you get. It's just, not on purpose, but, it is an extraordinary. And it's also the place that I was first exposed to Silverlight when WPF Everywhere was rolled out by Scott Guthrie, and So I have a certain affection for Mix.
That was like a life-changing moment for you from the stories you've told me.
It was indeed. Exactly right. It was a pivotal moment. And I've been extremely lucky and happy ever since, because it's created a niche for me that, I was a very happy C++ Windows programmer and then C# Windows programmer, but Silverlight really opened up a whole new, you should pardon the expression, vista. And
oh,
really, really bad. It's a snowy day. What can I say? But in any case, yes, Mix is certainly a favorite, and it's always one. The other piece, of course, is that it attracts a great crowd, which is, you know, why we keep running into each other. How's that for bringing things back full circle?
You should host a podcast.
Oh, there's a thought. I don't know that anybody would listen. I cannot thank you enough for doing this. This was just great.
It was great having a conversation with Jesse. Thanks for having me on.